You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
I get to talk with a lot of people who have started to work to save their marriage, and then suddenly they stop. And there is one phrase that I hear over and over from people as they've been trying to save their marriage that stops them dead in their tracks. That one phrase comes out of their spouse's mouth, and suddenly they have given up hope. They walk away and they believe that there's nothing they can do. And sometimes that's the case, but a lot of times this is just one of those bumps in the road. So what is that phrase? You may have heard it. It is too little, too late. Here they are working to try to connect and doing all these things to try to show their spouse that they want to save their marriage. And their spouse turns and says, too little, too late. So what does that mean, right? What does it mean when they say that? And is that really the case? Is it really too little, too late? Or is there something else going on? Let's talk about how we move through this process and what you want to understand and how you want to build your plan around this phrase that you're likely to hear. There are two parts to it. One is too little, the other is too late, obviously. Now, the too little, too late, sometimes it's just kind of a common phrase and it's a way of saying I'm frustrated and this is beyond repair. But let's talk about the too little. What they're saying is there's not enough of whatever it is that they wanted. There's not enough of what they need in the relationship. Now, the other thing to note about that is that when that phrase is said, it is also in some ways a blaming phrase. And that's part of why it rings so harsh for people when they hear it. When somebody is saying that, they're not saying, well, I guess I did too little and I guess I did it too late. They're saying you did too little and you did it too late. But understand that behind that, they're admitting that there was something lacking that needed to be there, right? That even if they don't even recognize they're saying that, that's the subconscious piece of that there's something that's just lacking. They just happen to be at this point in their blame frame, and they're looking to point the finger at you. Recognize, though, that they're still acknowledging that there was something needed there. That's an important thing to attend to down the road. The other is too late. And the too late part is that they're too far into the process of disconnection to believe that there's a possibility of reconnection. So many times when I talked with people, they say, you know, my spouse says that I should have done this months ago, or why didn't I do this months ago, or why didn't I do this years ago? And that's a really tough one to answer. But recognize the same thing, that in most cases, both people are moving and contributing towards the demise of the relationship. But the belief here is that the things have gotten to the point when there's too much disconnection and too much pain. Now, there are two levels of this to think about. One is that they are describing where in the process of disconnection they are in. Understand, though, that they don't understand the path of disconnection. I've talked about the path of disconnection, and in the show notes, there is a link to that podcast so you can go and understand how the disconnection happens, the various stages as you move from connection all the way down to disconnection and disdain. So part is that they're naming that they're on the process that they believe is irretrievable. The second thing of that is that irretrievability piece, that they don't believe that there is a healing possible in a relationship. Now, oddly enough, most of us don't know where the limits of healing and forgiveness lie because we haven't been to a place where we have to experience that. So I can tell you, having walked through this for many years, that I've seen many, many couples who find healing when neither felt, or at least one didn't feel like there's any possibility of finding the healing. Now, sometimes the person is going to be unwilling to move in that direction, but many times I find that it's an underestimation of the capacity of people to heal and move through a process of finding forgiveness and finding, more importantly, reconnection. Why is that more important? Well, reconnection is part of what creates the scenario of the possibility of forgiveness. Somebody can let go of something and move away, but to truly forgive something, they have to be at a place where they are feeling the reconnection. Otherwise, there's too much anger, too much hurt that stays behind that. So, is this phrase true? Well, it could be. And I want to be honest here and say that I do know that there are times that no matter what you do, you're not going to be able to save this relationship. the best you can do at that point is to have been able to look in the mirror and say, hey, you know what? I did the best I could. I've become the best person I can be. I've worked on this. And many people say, even after they haven't saved their relationship, that as they've worked through my course, that they have become a better person that they wouldn't trade in. They certainly didn't get to the point that they wanted to, but there's one central reason for that. You're not in full control of this. I've been talking for the last few weeks on both the Thriveology podcast and the Save the Marriage podcast some about this control piece, where we tend to try to control the things over which we can't control, and we also fail to control the things we can control. One of the things you can't ultimately control is the decision of your spouse to continue in this process. That is one of the things that is not within your control. You can control the circumstances around which that happens and how you respond to that and how you draw that person in. But ultimately, there is a place when a spouse has to step into the process. You know, sometimes people come to me and say, well, what if my spouse doesn't want to ever save the relationship? Can I still do this? Well, you can start the process. And part of my task is to give you the information to help you start the process. And that is the beginning point. At some point, a spouse has to say, yeah, I see something worthwhile here. Yeah, I can see that there's potential here. This could be a great relationship. And they come back into the relationship. So is it always true that it's too little too late? No, but it could be. Sometimes the damage is done and the spouse is just unwilling to turn that corner. But in many, many cases where this has been said, the relationship can be eventually saved. I've seen many situations over the years where somebody proclaimed over and over, too little too late, only to begin to lessen that and say, I wish we'd gotten to this point earlier, and then to say, wow, I think we can get to a new point, and then to arrive at a new point. So there are many times when this phrase is used that it turns out not to be true. Here's the problem. The difference between those that are salvageable and those that are not can only be discovered on the other side of the process. In other words, the only way you'll know whether this is one of those cases where it cannot be saved or whether this is one of the cases where it can be is to work the process and move towards something better. In other words, too little too late is not the end of your efforts to save a relationship. It's a new understanding in your relationship that your spouse is not seeing at this moment a path forward. That doesn't mean the path isn't there. It's just that your spouse cannot see that path from where they are, from the hurt, from the pain of where they are. Now, understand that you've got your hurt and your pain too. And I'm not downgrading that, and I'm not saying that you may not be feeling the same way. You may be saying, I'm wondering if it's too little too late. I'm wondering if this is not just an unsalvageable situation. But you only find that out on the other side. I think one of the myths of this Save the Marriage process is that people believe that you have to be wanting to save your marriage and wanting to be madly in love with your spouse in order to do it. Some people say, you know what? All I want to do is honor my commitment and see if we can build something. Many times, couples are almost at the exact same place of hurt and pain, but one is choosing to look at leaving the situation and the other is choosing to look at restoring the situation. My task is to give you the tools to discover what can be built. But there's no way of knowing whether this phrase is at the end of the possibility or is at the beginning of a new possibility. So, a couple of things you want to avoid. These are temptations. You're going to be tempted to feel so discouraged that you just walk away. And that is an option, but probably an option you'll ultimately regret. Sometimes when people hear that too little too late, they just fold their tents and they walk away and decide nothing can be done. And unfortunately, there are lots of those situations where it could have been saved had they not allowed the discouragement, the frustration to get in their way. Which leads us to the second temptation, the frustrated people who allow that phrase to ramp them up. And so they step into convincing mode. So they hear that too little too late and they want to fight so hardly against it that they begin to break the rules of what not to do. And we don't want to get to the place where you move into convince mode. So walk away and convincing are kind of the two opposite ends that are the temptations when you hear that phrase. You may just want to say, you know what, I'm just not going to do it. I give up. If they say it's over, then I'm done trying. Or you may say, I'm going to prove to them that it's not over. I'm going to convince them of that. Instead, let me give you another option. And that is to commit yourself to the process of working on saving your marriage. The process. Now, I say the process because you can't commit to saving your marriage. That's beyond your capacity of controlling. But you can commit yourself to the process of saving your relationship. And the process is what is in your control. You can decide you're going to follow the process that you create. Even though you don't know where it's going to end up, you can't guarantee the outcome. You can guarantee that you will honor the process as you move through it. So let me give you five steps to that process of dealing with this too little too late. Number one, there's an apology piece that's here. And a lot of times people say, why do I have to apologize? And my response is, you get to apologize. You get to step up and be responsible. The other person can choose whether they're going to do that eventually or not. But apologizing is something that we as humans should take on as something we get to do. We get to take responsibility for our actions and move beyond it. Sometimes it's not going to affect the other person, but it does affect the person who's apologizing. So how do you apologize? Well, you do it with a letter. I have a very distinct way of doing that I have created and use with my VIP members. The VIP members are people who have stepped up and said, I really need some extra training. I need some extra coaching and I want to do this right. And I want to follow the process as much as I can. So I've created some extra resources, including how to do that apology letter. So either way, whether you are using that resource or not, I just would encourage you to make it a written letter of apology where you really do spend some time taking accountability for yourself, for your actions, for where you were in the process. Now, let me just caution you that this is not the time to try to apologize for any and everything in the relationship, but you are apologizing for any and everything you contributed to the damage to the relationship. We all have a role, and your role is to be accountable to your part of that process. So number one is to apologize. My preference is in letter form. Let me tell you why I believe in the letter. Sometimes when there's this much hurt and you try to apologize in person, the other person's not going to be willing to listen. The other is I also suggest that you not just hand the letter over to them, because if they're angry enough, they'll tear it up just to prove they're not going to read it. So there's another way of delivering that, and that's to make sure it's in your absence, okay? So that brings us to the second thing, which is to then refuse to read tea leaves. Now, what I mean by reading tea leaves is when you try to look at the behavior of somebody and discern what's going on with them. This is a phrase you may have heard. It's a very rich phrase for me. The reason is because when I was a teenager, I did a lot of magic shows and hung out with magicians and odd kind of people. And one of the people that I met was a carny, a sideshow carny woman who called herself an old gypsy woman. And she was a fortune teller. And she would read the tea leaves. She had this old beat up porcelain cup. And when someone would come into her tent for their fortune to be read, she would put the tea in and mix some hot water in it, make some tea, slurp down that tea, and begin to swirl the leaves around. And then she would look into the leaves and she was looking for patterns. And she believed that she could read the patterns of the leaves and foretell what was going to happen. Well, we do that too. We look at someone's behaviors and we believe that we can foretell where that's going to go. For instance, when they say too little too late, we begin to read the tea leaves about what that means. And the danger of reading tea leaves is it begins to be a curiosity. And we begin to ask ourselves, what does that mean? And it distracts us from the process of saving our relationship. When you're not working on the process of saving your marriage, often it's because you're being confused by what's going on with your spouse. Don't allow yourself to be confused. Don't allow yourself to be reading those tea leaves. Make sure you stay focused on your process as you continue to follow it. The third thing is refuse to beg, convince, connive, manipulate, threaten, or do anything else which is trying to force your spouse to not follow through on that too little too late phrase. This is the place where when somebody finally says, you know what, I see what you're doing. I see you've been trying to change. I see you've been trying to connect with me, but it's just too little too late. Sometimes it snaps people back to that place where they're trying to beg the person to stay and try to convince them. You know, just use that logic. If you could just find that right phrase, then they begin to connive and they begin to manipulate, sometimes even threaten. And oftentimes it's about kids and property and lots of other things that can happen. But don't fall into that. Take the high road. Make sure that you stay on track to being the best person you can be, even if you're hearing that phrase. Now, I'll tell you this, that begging, convincing, conniving, manipulating, threatening thing can sometimes work for about 2 hours, sometimes even 2 weeks, but it's not going to last. And that's the problem, is sometimes we believe that we just have to say the right thing and get to that place. Don't fall into that trap. Refuse to beg. Don't convince. Don't connive, and certainly don't manipulate and threaten. Okay, the fourth thing is to refuse to make your spouse the enemy. Now, somebody asked me about this recently and said, what do you mean by that? It's easy for you to say that, but what do you mean by that and what do I do with that? When you make your spouse the enemy, you treat the spouse like they're the bad guy, and then the anger comes out. What's the enemy is your spouse's attitude that things can't improve. And it's also the belief system that your spouse has about what's possible in a relationship, what a relationship is about, and what forgiveness is about. And so they're caught up in this belief system, and that's the enemy you're trying to take apart. How do you take it apart? By luring your spouse over to your side of connection. And so it's kind of like trying to say, okay, that's our enemy. That's our common enemy. My spouse just doesn't know it yet. I've got to bring them on our side. I've got to bring them onto my side of this, and we work on building a we. We get back to that place. But don't allow your spouse to become your enemy in this process. And the last thing, number five, is to build and follow your plan. This is one of the things that I keep pushing my VIP members to make sure you've got that plan, not just in your head, but on paper. So much so that I provide for them a form to fill out. It's a fill in the blank plan to save your marriage. And that the reason is because I want every day those eyeballs to be on the plan. And I want every morning to wake up and assessing the day on how they're going to move through it. In fact, I even provide a one day, what I call a thrive journal, for people to look at and move through so that they know what they're headed for that day. Now, if you're not grabbing that resource, the VIP membership, then you still want to have your plan and you still want to make sure you're looking at that plan every single day. Never let too little too late be your truth. It is the attitude of your spouse that you don't want to get trapped in. So remember, the apology letter form is the beginning point to try to pull that back. Sometimes people apologize and then they hear that phrase. That's okay. That just means you move to the next one, which is refuse to read the tea leaves. Refuse to try to see what that means. Remember to stay on your process. Refuse to beg, convince, connive, manipulate, or threaten your spouse into trying to change that belief. Refuse to make your spouse the enemy. Remember, their attitude and their beliefs about what's possible is the real enemy. They are your partner. They need to be your ally as you both join together to fight that enemy. And finally, build and follow your plan. Don't leave this to chance, because what happens if you don't have a plan to follow? When you hear these kinds of phrases, you get knocked off. I call it the primary fail point. That's a training that I have provided for the VIP members. And that primary fail point of pushback from your spouse is the place where you're most likely to fail, but you don't have to if you know it's coming. And you don't have to if you know that it doesn't have to be the truth. It doesn't have to be the long-term truth of the relationship. Too little, too late? Sometimes, but the only way to tell is to go through the process and continue your efforts to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.